Welcome back to Coast AM. Reptilian food. Are we really reptilian food? It's kind of freaked me out. A new Nostradamus. A prophet claims World War III is about to start in June after Europe closes its borders. China and Russia will start World War III against the United States within 6 months of Europe closing its borders because of the migrant crisis. And this is according to Pastor Ricardo Salazar. He is claiming to have predicted dates for asteroid strikes, World War III, and even the second coming of Christ. It's an interesting read. And you can go right now to the news at Coast to Coast AM and check it out. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. More of your calls in just a second. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow night, right here on Coast to Coast, my guest will be Daniel Sheehan. And we're going to be talking about the lost history between the United States and the Middle East and why we just don't understand any of it. And the cause and the rise of ISIS. It's going to be a fascinating show tomorrow night with Daniel Sheehan. More of your calls. Are we reptilian food? Right after this short break. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George Norrie tonight. He's at home with family, enjoying his well-deserved time off. Let's go. Let's go straight back to the phones. And Kevin in Illinois, east of the Rockies. Kevin, are we reptilian food?
I don't know about reptilians. All I know is that in 1982, I was abducted by extraterrestrials, and I did the time traveling thing.
Tell me about it. What happened, Kevin?
First of all, I was set up for it. I was told that I could meet extraterrestrials and stupid me said, sure.
Wait. Stop for a second there, Kevin. Who told you that you were going to meet some extraterrestrials?
I was in the United States Navy at the time. I was a hospital corpsman, and I was on board a ship, the USS San Bernardino, which is a tank landing ship, and its hull number was 1189. And this guy that was on my ship with me, I had known him since the first day I came on board the ship. And he and I were like best of friends for 4 years. And one night I was doing some work down in my space, because in the medical field, I was a hospital corpsman. It's not done until the paperwork is done. So, of course, I was down there catching up on some paperwork. And he came down to visit me. And he told me that he'd been abducted by extraterrestrials since he was 8 years old. And I took it with a grain of salt.
Right.
And we had a conversation about it. Now, UFOs and stuff wasn't exactly alien to me because I did a book report on it when I was a junior in high school back in 1971. And I had read all the books that I could that were out at that time because it was half of my grade for the English class. For the semester, you know, we researched this topic, you know, and there was a whole list of controversial subjects on the that we got to choose from.
So you were familiar with this when your friend talked to you about this in the Navy. He wasn't catching you by surprise.
Well, he caught me by surprise when he told me that he'd been abducted.
Right.
And I'd known him for 4 years, and this is the first time the subject ever came up. Now, this was on a Sunday night, and, you know, like I said, I took it with a grain of salt, you know, I'm just like, yeah, okay, sure. Well, then, now, we were out at sea. Now, we were on a Westpac cruise, which puts us on the other side of the world, you know, like between Japan and Korea and Singapore and Thailand and on that side of the world. You know, we weren't nowhere near California or anything.
Right.
And, our ship is a tank landing ship, which is designed to go right up on the beach, and the front end opens up, and the Marines can drive their jeeps and their tanks and all of that off into a battle scene.
I got you. So when you say tank landing ship, it's got those big garage doors on the front, right? And you run right up on the beach, and those open, and tanks and vehicles and jeeps and what have you just come straight off out of the front of the ship onto the beach.
That's correct.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And, but you know, we did a lot of island hopping. You know, we would pick up a bunch of Marines and take them somewhere else, and we would drop them off. And then we would go somewhere else and pick up another group of Marines. So we were moving all around. And we'd been out to sea for a week at this time. And like I said, this started on a Sunday night.
What was your friend's name? What was his first name?
I'll give you his last name. It was Reich, R-E-I-C-H. Does that sound like a coincidence?
Yeah.
Now, you got to realize this is in 1982. All right. So, and since then, I've learned an awful lot about, you know, and now, you know, when I heard about the Third Reich, I was just like, you got to be kidding me.
Okay. You know? Well, so he tells you that this is going to happen. What part of the world were you guys in?
Well, we were still over on the West Pack, you know. Like I said, I don't know exactly where we were because we've been out to sea for a week.
Right.
And, you know, all you could see was ocean everywhere you look. Well, anyway, this was on a Sunday night. Okay, and like I said, I took a big grain of salt. Well, Tuesday night, he came back down to my space because I was still doing some paperwork, you know. And he told me that his, quote, friends came and got him. And I go, oh, really? I go, that's nice. You know, because we were still out at sea, you know. And I said, where'd they take you? And he says, well, they took me to your house in Kansas City, Illinois. And I was like, oh, really? What did you see? So he starts describing things to me that he saw. And the more he was telling me, the more upset I was getting. Because I knew what he was telling me was absolutely fact. The only trouble was, it wasn't fact in 1982. The first thing he was telling me about was a 1966 Ford Galaxy 500 that we owned and gave a lot of details about it, including a chocolate milkshake stain that I had done in the back seat of the car while we went to Dairy Queen, and stupid me, I spilled my milkshake all over it and stained the seat. And he gave me that kind of detail.
Well, what year did your family own this Galaxy 500, and what year was this Dairy Queen incident?
Well, we bought the car in 1966, but we traded the car in 1970 for a Plymouth 33.
So how could he have known this unless you told, did you tell him anything about this?
No, that's just it. And then I asked him what else he saw. So then he starts describing our living room furniture that we had, which we had gotten rid of and got new furniture in 1968-69. I can't remember exactly what year, but I knew the furniture he was describing was not the furniture that we owned at the present time in 1982.
So he was abducted, but he also time traveled. He went back to 1966 or 67 or 1968.
Yes. That's the point. That's why I said I was getting more and more upset, because I figured the CIA couldn't even have that much information about me.
Right, of course.
You know, that detail of information. So I was asking, where did you learn this? Where did you get all? He goes, I just came from your house, you know, like 15 minutes ago. And I was, and I knew that, you know, thing is, Jimmy, I knew what he was telling me was the truth.
Wow. Okay.
I also knew that it wasn't today, you know, that day, you know, the particular day this was happening.
Right, right. Well, Kevin, really quick, because I want to get this in before we get to a break, okay? So you know about this, you know about the chocolate shake and Dairy Queen and the Galaxy 500 in 1966, 70, and he's been, so you know about this. Now take us to where your experience started.
Okay, well, see, so I asked him, how did you know this? He told me, well, my friends. So I told him, I says, well, if you're telling me the truth, I want to meet your little green friends. And he says, well, I don't know for sure if you can or not, but I'll talk to him and I'll let you know. So it was a couple of days later, he came back down to the space, and he told me that, yeah, I talked to him and they said you can meet him. And I said, really? When? He says, you'll find out. And so it was the next day, and they just zapped me aboard, and they showed me things of the future, they showed me things of the past.
But they didn't just zap you, okay, so you can't just say it like that. What happened?
Well, he told me they're here. And I said, oh, where? He says, up on the main deck. You'll see. So I go up on the main deck of the ship, and I see this star. That's the only way I can describe it to me, is a star. It was the most beautiful thing I ever saw in my life. It was shining every single color of the rainbow all over it, all around it. And it was a star shape, you know, like, and I thought to myself, this looks like it could be the star of Bethlehem. I really thought that.
It was that bright? It was that bright?
Oh, it was beautiful. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It was as bright as the sun, but it didn't hurt my eyes.
So what happened next?
Every color, huh?
What happened next?
Well, there were two guys that were standing in front of me, and they were having a conversation, and I was trying to get their attention. Now, you got to realize, this thing was probably about 6 or 7 miles away, 6 or 7 miles tall, I mean, up in the sky, you know, around the same altitude as the jet airliner flies, 35,000 feet.
Right.
And it was about, and I'm not exaggerating when I say this, about 3 to 3.5 miles wide, 2 to 2.5 miles tall. And you basically had to be blind now to see it. And these guys are having a conversation next to me. And I grabbed the one guy next to me, and I'm yelling and screaming, jumping up and down and yelling, and I want him to see it as a witness. And I got a death grip on him, and I'm shaking him as hard as I can. And he just doesn't even respond to me.
How many sailors were on the San Bernardino?
About 240.
How many guys were on the deck at night when this incident happened?
No, this wasn't at night. This was at around 11:30 in the morning.
Oh, I thought you said it was at night. So it's 11:30 in the morning. How many guys were on the deck?
Well, I just saw the two that were in front of me.
Okay.
I don't know how many that were on there. But neither one of them saw it. They never responded to me. They didn't even respond. I got a death grip on him, and I'm shaking him as hard as I can, and he doesn't even respond to me. And I can guarantee you, Jimmy, if you're standing in a crowd and somebody grabs you by the shoulder and starts shaking you, you
respond. Yeah, of course. So what happens next, Kevin?
Blink, and now I'm on their ship. And I'm looking down, and I can see my ship. And then we did a flyby by it. And then I see myself on the ship shaking this guy, jumping up and down. Now, I don't know if they, you know... Okay, and as soon as I got on their ship, my first thought was, my God, this can't be happening.
Right.
And as soon as I thought it, a voice came to my head and said, yes, it is, Kevin. It's what you wanted. And then my second thought, when we're doing a flyby by the ship and I see myself, I thought to myself, I'm AWOL.
Right. Well, that's interesting. That sounds like a time slip, if you think about it. If you saw yourself on the ship,
yes.
There's some type of time travel that is happening there.
So then, as soon as I said I'm AWOL, a second voice came in my head and said, they don't even know you're gone. That's exactly what they said. And then it just went from there. And I have... I wrote my story down. George Noyes got a copy of it from me in San Diego about 4 or 5 years ago. It's 30 pages long. I mean, and it's all detailed. I remember all my experience.
Well,
and,
tell me about it, Kevin, really quick. We're going to be up against a break, so okay. I want to hear as much as I can.
They took me to the future, and they took me to the past, and they told me, and everything was telepathically. They told me, some of what you see has yet to be. Some of what you see has already happened. And they took me back to Kankakee when I was about, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old. I saw myself walk out of the house, walk across the street, talk to my grandmother who died in 1972. And then at the end of it, it was about 20, 25 minutes, like I said, they were showing me different things. And they're showing me Armageddon-type things, things that I didn't want to know. Things I don't even want to know.
What year? What year were these Armageddon visions?
I have no idea. They didn't tell me what year they were taking me to. But the very last thing I saw was I was riding a motorcycle, and I got hit broadside by a car, and I'm laying next to the bike. Now, everything they showed me only lasted about 7 to 10 seconds. just enough time for me to realize what I was looking at, and now I'm looking at something different.
Right.
And this lasted about a half an hour during my adventure.
Well,
and then the very last thing they showed me was a motorcycle accident, and I'm laying next to it, and I'm not moving or anything, and I thought they'd show me how I was going to die. And so that bike that motorcycle happened on was a 2003 Harley Davidson. I owned it 15 days. I was knocked out. Of course, I didn't know I was knocked out when I saw it. I thought I'd seen how I died. So for 21 years, Jimmy, I thought I knew how I was going to die.
Interesting. Interesting. Hey, really quick, Kevin, before we hit this hard break, what was the interior of the ship like? Do you remember any details?
When I first got on board, it was like everywhere I looked, I could see right through it. All right, so I could see the things that they were showing me and stuff, and it was like I was looking through a window. And it didn't matter. It was like with my peripheral vision, I could see it was solid, and it was white on the inside on the walls. But if I turn my head, I'm looking right out through that area. But I could see the peripheral vision; it was solid. And then when this all ended, I realized I was standing on a metal grate. You know, like a fire escape grate.
Right.
And it was gray, like battleship gray. And I was standing above another level. And I was with them for about, maybe 40 minutes before I finally got to look at them.
How long do you think, Kevin, that you were actually with them? How long was this?
About 45 minutes to an hour.
That was it? And so you were able to, wow, that's interesting. And then when you got back, how did you get back to the ship, and did anybody miss you?
Well, see, here's the thing. When I came back, I was laying in my rack, all right? I remember sitting up in my bed, and I was fighting them off, all right? And my uniform, the dungarees uniform, was just soaked to the skin with sweat. And I was hyperventilating. And I thought, oh, God, this has just been a dream.
Right.
And then I turned to get out of my rack. And my friend's standing there. He's got this ear-to-ear grin. And he goes, tell me about your ride, Kevin.
This was your friend, Reich?
Yes.
And
I never talked to him after that. I avoided him like the plague. I thought he was one of them.
Right.
I really didn't know. I mean, you know, I mean, I thought I could handle it, you know, and when I was with them, I asked them, are you going to eat me? And they told me, you watch too many horror movies, which really isn't true because I haven't seen that many. I never watched the Halloween movies or.
What is that? What did that mean?
Huh?
What did that mean? You watch too many horror movies so they wouldn't eat you because
of. I didn't ask them to define that. That was their response when I asked them if they were going to eat me.
Right, right.
They said, no, you watch too many horror movies. And then I asked them what they looked like, and they said, we're not little and we're not green. And you want to talk about an understatement? When I finally got the courage up to turn around and look at them, they were 12 to 15 feet tall.
Wow.
And I'm not exaggerating by that, because you ever play basketball, you know that the hoop is 10 feet above the ground.
Right.
And then you got your backboard, which is, I just remember thinking, wow, if I had two of these on my basketball team, we could beat any team. All right, because one could stand behind the backboard and just drop the ball in. Just drop the ball in.
Hey, Kevin, did you have a great Thanksgiving yesterday?
It was okay. It wasn't exactly great, but look, I have a lot to be thankful for. And, you know, Jimmy, I will say this. I feel like I've been privileged, and I also feel like I've been damned. And the reason I say that is I know things that I don't want to know, and I've seen so many things that are terrible coming down the road, just terrible. And there's nothing that you or I or anybody else can do about it.
Well, that's the way that it is, Kevin. But you know what you can do is enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. This is Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Follow me on Twitter. Twitter is live to my left, at J Church Radio. It's Coast to Coast AM. More of your calls right after this short break. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Now, I want to remind everybody, tomorrow night, Daniel Sheehan, right here on Coast to Coast, and we're going to talk about the lost history between the United States and the Middle East and the rise of ISIS. It is going to be a fascinating conversation. All of your calls, I will get to everybody next. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm going to get to everybody, so I'm going to get out of here and get right back to your calls right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George tonight. He's got a well-deserved night off, Thanksgiving weekend. And here we are tonight. I'm going to get everybody in. Let's go straight to Derek in Hastings, Michigan. Derek, welcome to Coast AM. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Jimmy. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Derek. How about you?
I'm all right. Can I first give a shout-out to all the people serving the military that didn't necessarily get to spend time with their family this holiday?
Yeah, and you just did, and thank you for that. You know, I'm an Army brat myself, and I know what it's like being out there overseas. Well, I don't, but I know what it's like to be in a family with servicemen abroad, and there you go. So thank you for saying that. Derek, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, first, I have a show suggestion. I was wondering if you could find anybody that would be like a Norse mythology historian.
Okay.
If you could get them on the show, I'd find that intriguing. I'd imagine a lot of other people would.
Writing that down right now, Norse mythology. Okay, there you go.
I was going to guess your bumper music, but somebody already did. So.
Well, you know, I didn't know if it was going to be that much of a challenge, but I wanted everybody to enjoy it because it is a great soundtrack.
Could I suggest other music for your bumper music some other time?
It's Thanksgiving night, Derek, so go ahead. What do you think?
Could you play some Bad Brains sometime?
Bad Brains? Are you from Los Angeles? How would you know about Bad Brains?
Oh, I kind of grew up with a family of punk rockers.
There you go. All right, Derek. Any questions? Anything else?
No, that's it.
That's it? Thank you, Derek. Have a great, safe rest of your Thanksgiving weekend.
Thanks, right. You too, Jimmy.
All right. Thank you so much. Let's go straight to, I'm going in order. We're going to go to Tom, first time caller line in Farmington, Missouri. Tom, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, Jimmy. Good morning. Good timing. I got my first cup of coffee going in me.
Right on, Tom.
I find you very charismatic, and you and your guests are just putting a big smile on my face.
Well, you know, that's the point, though, Tom, is just to, you know, make you think, make you quest for knowledge and fulfill those things, and then, you know, just enjoy yourself. That's what this show's about.
Well, I hope George is listening or will hear this, because what I want to say occurred in St. Louis, Missouri.
Right.
And he will know all the players in all the locations. So here we go. 1969. My brother and his friend are returning from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C. He burst into my parents' house and tells this incredible story about being followed across the country by a UFO.
In his car? Was he driving?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I think they went the southern route down Interstate 10.
Okay.
My parents rolled their eyes. I was 10. My sister was 14. We hop in the convertible, man, we got to go see the UFO. So this happened in St. Louis. We get out to Highway 40. It's Interstate 64, but in St. Louis, everybody still calls it to this day 40. We're down in the Gumbo Flats, which now they call Chesterfield. Up in the sky, and it's a moonlit night with all the stars. Up in the sky is this football field sized thing in the air. It's blocking the stars and the moon.
You said football. What was it shaped like?
A rectangle, just like a football field, but I couldn't tell the height. No lights. No sound, but the underside of it looked like a Three Stooges plumbing job. I mean, there's just a bunch of, it looked like half a pipe plumbing underneath of it. There are cars all along the highway. You can honk your horn and you hear your echo.
Interesting.
Now, I know that sound travels a mile every 7 seconds. So about 2.5 seconds later, you hear your horn. The highway is lined with cars, and they're all honking, and everybody's out of their cars.
How many cars were stopped?
Oh, well, it was a three-lane highway at the time, and it went from four-lane to three-lane, and, you know, 50, 100. So let me continue.
Well, really quick, hold on, Tom. Before we run out of time,
sure,
I got to get
sure.
a couple
go,
of questions.
Go, go, go.
Was there anything the next day in the newspapers or on
well,
television or other witnesses?
That's where I'm heading.
Okay.
George will know this guy.
And what year was this again?
1969.
Okay.
Okay. In St. Louis, there was a competitor to George called KMOX, which is now just a wet sock to what it used to be. This was before the internet and everything. There was a famous guy on there by the name of Jim White, and he ran a radio show. And Jim White gets word of this and has my brother and his friend on the radio. Unfortunately, at the time, I had an 8-track recorder. I taped it all, but I think when I threw out the 8-track, I think I threw out the tape. For 1 hour, my brother and his friend tell their story.
What were the call letters on the station again?
KMOX. Used to be a super station.
Okay, I got it. I'm just making notes here because I want to go check this out later myself.
Well, they're so cheap now, they don't hire anybody good. And George, I saw George when he was developing himself over at his radio station where he's at now. And they used to have a picture window in Westport Plaza. And you could watch George do, you know, and he was forming himself. And I got to say, George did one heck of a job doing it.
Well, let's get back to you and your brother. Okay, so what happened next?
Okay, so Jim White, they tell the story. And for 3 hours, the callers are calling in, saying, yeah, I saw it. Yeah, it was there. It was there. And so Jim White, after the show, said, I could have gone another 12 hours with callers. And maybe KMOX has got an archive. Maybe the estate of Jim White has an archive. Now, these two kids, my brother and his friend, my brother grows up to be a world-renowned poet. He is a personal friend of Maya Angelou before she died. He has the American Journal of Poetry, and he's kind of reclusive now. The other guy, you got a piece of plastic in your wallet with his company name on it. And George knows these guys, I'm sure. I don't want to use their names, but you got a piece of plastic in your wallet, I guarantee, with his logo on it. If I could put these guys together again, and I think I might be able to, it'd be wonderful. I'm 56, and I think George, 50 or something like that? These guys are 66. Before they die, they ought to redo this one more time and tell their story.
Yeah, they absolutely should.
Because nobody is ever going to convince me that there are not UFOs.
Well,
is believing.
Right. Hey, Tom, just write me, Jimmy Church at coasttocoastam.com, and see if we can put these guys together. I've got to get the rest of these calls in here before the end of the show tonight. And I just wanted to thank you and have a great rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. Thank you so much. Let's go to, going in order, Edmondson in Los Angeles, California, right here, Los Angeles. Edmondson, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well. And how are you doing, Jimmy?
It's a beautiful, beautiful, cold, risky day here in Los Angeles. Pretty nippy today, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Jimmy, those listeners that are still listening to you right now, you are going to be very blessed because information that I have for you, very, very pertinent. I have had ET contact since I was a child. I'm now 70 years old. A couple of statements that you've made on the air tonight are very viable. You made a statement about an individual predicting that there's going to be World War III here very, very quickly. That particular person is correct. And you had an individual that was on the air who made a statement. he couldn't believe that these UFO aircraft, or spacecraft, actually called star jumpers, were traveling from one solar system or galaxy to another, then come to the Earth, and they crash. They were shot down, not by humans, but by a reptilian species that has controlled the Earth for 400,000 years.
Okay, keep going.
I know that for a fact, because I had a contact with them on January the 28th, 1986, when the Challenger was destroyed. But I want to go beyond that. The information that has been given to me over the years is now manifesting itself on the Earth. There'll be great trials and tribulations between now and Christmas this year, but when we get into 2016, the situation in the Middle East, with Russia, China, the United States, Syria, and Turkey, will turn into a major military conflagration. On June the 20th, 2015, this year, Elijah the prophet gave a message to Israel, to one of the oldest rabbis in Israel, saying that Israel is moments away from being invaded. I was shown by these ETs and these spiritual entities a nuclear conflagration moments away in the Middle East, which will spread throughout the world, with Russia and China and North Korea on one side, and the United States and its military allies on the other side. Now, we have the opportunity in changing the frequency modulation on the planet right now from the darkness that these reptilians have created to divine love and divine light. I want you to go to google.com, Jimmy and everybody listening. Go to my video, and it's free, called Suleiman Edmondson, A Message from Jesus Christ. I had two visitations from Jesus Christ, and one was I was living in Kitsilano, Vancouver, where this gentleman that you had on the air earlier, and in Kitsilano, Vancouver, a lot of people are gathering from around the world in receiving UFO information and UFO contact.
And you're saying, and we need to be really careful between now and Christmas as well.
Between now and Christmas, these dark siders, which are reptilians, and they do exist, they want to destroy the focus of our spiritual attention on the birth of Jesus Christ. And then as we go into 2016, these demonic entities, you asked a question, are we reptilian food? Yes, we are, on two levels. Not only do they eat human flesh, they live off of the pain and suffering of humanity.
And I've heard this before, and I want to thank you for the call, Edmondson, and have a great, safe rest of your weekend. That they definitely live off of our loose. I've heard this time and time again, that they just feed off of our energy. I've got enough time here for maybe two more calls. I'm trying to get everybody in. Robert from Joplin, Missouri. Robert, hi, you're live on Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, Jimmy.
How are you, Robert?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to back up what the last caller was saying.
Okay, we got about 2 minutes, Robert. So
I want to add to it that there's going to be a false savior come on the scene. He's going to say he's going to save us all from all this, all the problems the world is facing. It's the false messiah. It's going to present itself as an alien, say it made us. Don't fall for it. It will be the false messiah, the antichrist.
Well, there you go.
The antichrist comes second. Christ comes second.
Robert, thank you for the call. And I've heard that Project Bluebeam, and when it rolls around to Christmas and you think about what's going on in the Middle East, would it be used? Would it be manipulated up in the sky? And, you know, every Christmas when it rolls around, it seems like that would be a good opportunity for the Project Bluebeam to be activated. Hi, Jim. You're live right from Kentucky on Coast to Coast AM. What's on your mind?
Yes, actually, I would like to ask Mr. Norrie to make public Kevin's document that he sent, his 30-page document about his experiences.
Okay, I've made note of it here, and I will get to it. Thank you for the phone call. Steven, hi, you're live on Coast to Coast AM.
Hi, how you doing, Jimmy?
Last call of the night, Steven. I got through everybody. What's on your mind?
Nice. Well, I just wanted to tell you about the other day I was walking down the street, and there was actually a homeless. I believe he was a vet for this country, and he showed me a chip that he had. He said it was an RFID chip. He didn't tell me how he got it implanted, but he did tell me that they are trying to put it in everybody that can.
What do you mean he showed you a chip? Was it under his skin?
It was like a little, it looked kind of like a cyst on his between his thumb and his index finger, or his pointer finger, and it was like a little bump.
And how big was it?
It like a grain of rice, maybe.
And what do you think it was? Do you think it was an RFID chip, or do you think that it could have just been tissue?
He said that they gave it to him when he was in the military.
And the injection under the skin happened when he was in the military.
Yeah, well, the implant of the RFID chip, yes.
Well, Steven, let me ask you, what did you think you were seeing? Did it look like it was man-made, or?
It looked computer. It looked some kind of technology. I mean, it looked like a bump on his skin, but you could see a little bit, like, kind of like metal a little bit. Like, it wasn't too thick of a layer of skin covering it.
And how old was he? When did he say that this was done? Very interesting.
It happened in the 60s, maybe, he said.
Wow.
He was pretty old.
Well, I mean, what kind of advanced...
What makes me believe him is I actually heard that a company in Australia, it had over 500, or I believe it was 500 employees that worked there already chipped for the job.
Makes you wonder what kind of advanced technology, Stephen, that they had back in the 60s, that they could make a chip like that small then.
I believe that they've had advanced technology ever since, you know, the 20s that are beyond our capabilities today, just not shared with the public.
Right, right, right. Fascinating call, Stephen. Have you had a great Thanksgiving? Is everything good for you?
I did. How about for you?
It was absolutely wonderful, and thank you for asking. And, Stephen, have a great rest of your weekend.
You too. Michael Jackson's a clone.
Okay, Michael Jackson's not living with us anymore. He's gone. This is Coast to Coast. Now, I want to remind everybody, tomorrow night, right here, Daniel Sheehan is going to be with us. A fascinating conversation is going to happen tomorrow night. Now, he's going to be our full guest for the entire show. And he is going to take us through the history of the relationship between the United States, the White House, Washington, D.C., and the Middle East, and what got us to where we are now, and the rise of ISIS, and how it came to be, and what ultimately we can do about it. It's going to be a fascinating discussion. You're going to want to be right here tomorrow night. It's been fun. Follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Follow me on Twitter. Tomorrow night, Daniel Sheehan. I want to thank Dan, G, George, Tommy, Chris, Lex, and Lisa. This has been Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you guys right here tomorrow night.